My guest tonight is a composer, bass player and collaborator. He's released three award-winning albums of his own compositions. He's composed music for several documentaries, co-produced the ABC series The Pulse. He's the co-director of the Starfish Club, the monthly concert series here in Sydney. But many will know him simply as one of the best bass players in Australia, having played with Pharoah Sanders, Branford Marsalis, Lionel Loeke, Kurt Elling, Nigel Kennedy, Mark Murphy, Annie Ross, Larry Goldings, Johnny Griffin, Junior Cook, Terry Lynn Carrington, Mike Nock, Katie Noonan, and many, many more. Jonathan Zwartz, welcome back to Now's the Time.
Wow, what an intro. Thanks so much for having me. I didn't realise I'd done all that stuff.
Jonathan, it's been about 4 years since you were last on Now's the Time. Perhaps for listeners who might be discovering you for the very first time, it might be hard to believe, but can you recap on just how you came to music back in New Zealand and then how you found your way to Sydney?
Well, I wasn't really good at anything else growing up. I kind of dropped out of school, and I think it's one of those music saved me stories. As soon as I possibly could, I left high school and joined a band and was touring pretty much straight away. And then I got asked to join a pop band that eventually came to Australia and then broke up 3 months later, leaving me high and dry. However, I did know that I didn't want to go back, so but leaving me high and dry a bit, well, that might have been a fortuitous thing. So, and then I was in bands for a little while in Sydney, and after that I was a bit disillusioned with the whole, my sort of role in the music scene. The music scene didn't seem to be very welcoming to me at that point, so I thought I'd try and approach it in a more serious way, and I auditioned for the Conservatorium of Music. Somebody had left a double bass in my flat, and I'd taken it out one night of its case one night after a particularly horrendous gig, and plucked it, and something about it really appealed to me and really spoke to me. So I thought I'd audition for the Conservatorium and see if I could get really serious about music, or if not, then perhaps look to do something else. And luckily for me, I passed the audition and haven't really looked back.
Yes, well, when I look back, this is the 30th year of this program, would you believe? And when I go back to the year of 1991, I think it was yourself and Bobby Gebbert were the first ever guests on this program. We sat down in a cafe in Bellingen and had a chat with a portable tape recorder. But there is so much water under the bridge since those days, Jonathan, and you're a very, very different creative artist and musician than what you were in those days. Can you perhaps nominate some pivotal moments in your musical career that somehow has defined the Jonathan Zwartz we know and love today?
I'll try. There's been a lot, as you say, a lot of water under the bridge. I think being in the Bobby Gebbert Trio was really formative. I think also playing with Bernie McGann was really formative. I probably would nominate the Vince Jones experience as being like life-changing in terms of how I approached music or heard music or became aware of the fact that there was space in music that could be just as important as the parts where people were filling that space with sound. I think that, and having played in that group with, first of all, Peter Jones on drums, but then eventually Hamish Stewart on drums and Barney McCall on piano, and that trio, in that trio we did a lot, and I learned a lot. I learned a lot from both of those guys and really enjoyed my time playing with them. And then I think after then, I think the most formative thing for me was actually doing my first album, my own album. I did spend a year in New York trying to learn how to be a double bass player, and ending up learning about life, which I think is what I think New York really does. Apart from anything else, it shows you how to have a musical life and what things are important and what attitudes are important, and how to be, you know, a good member of a band and how to take it all seriously without letting go of the joy of it or the fun of it. So yeah, being in New York is very formative also, but really what turned my musical life around was releasing that first album, and that's when I realized that I really enjoyed composing music and I wanted to further compose more music, and that's exactly what I have been doing ever since.
And if you can indulge me just for one more moment before we chat about your latest project, you mentioned to us back in 2018 that you no longer considered yourself a bassist in terms of what you call the hero bass player. Rather, your focus was and still is on composing and creating musical relationships. About a year after that interview back in 2018, you formed what's been called the supergroup, Mike Nock, Julian Wilson, Hamish Stewart and yourself. and you've since released two critically acclaimed albums. Were you surprised with how well this group has been received to date, and do you see more opportunities for this group to record and perform?
Yes and no. I think from the minute that we all got together on the bandstand, I think we realised that this was actually really something special, and it has proven to be so. People love the relationship between all of the musicians in the group, and I think that they love that they're hearing music composed by every single member of the band. I think that's really important. And yes, I really hope that we will do much more with this group. I hope that we record and do many more gigs. We're playing in Wangaratta on Friday as This World, for anybody who's going down there, if the weather allows, and we're all looking forward to it very much.
And we fast forward to 2020, and Jonathan Zwartz, you were commissioned by the Sydney Improvised Music Association to compose a suite of music for the Finnish harpist and ECM recording artist, her name Iiro Haala, to be performed in 2021. Now, COVID got in the way of this, but this is now coming to fruition for the Sydney International Women's Jazz Festival. I think you're at the Jazz Lab in Melbourne only this week. How did the seed of this collaboration with Iiro Haala come to be planted? Why Iiro Haala?
I think there was talk of fostering relationships with musicians from other parts of the world. And I just put my hand up to Seema, just saying that if there was somebody from Scandinavia, then I would love to be involved. And in fact, the idea actually came from the Seema's general manager, Amy, who is, along with Zoe Hartman, those two are such a boon to our jazz world. The things that they've achieved in the last few years through Seema for the jazz scene, not only in Sydney and New South Wales, but nationally, are incredibly noteworthy and amazing. Our scene is so much better for those two, having been at the helm of Seema and creating all of the work and the amount of opportunities for people. So anyway, Amy had said to me that she was talking to somebody in Finland, and I said I would be really, really interested, because I do listen to a lot of Scandinavian artists, and I love that they are not particularly beholden to any kind of stylistic things that are in fashion or not. They just play their version of how they hear music. And I think to a certain extent that's what we in Australia are starting to do now as well, as opposed to 20 or 30 years ago when we were all enthralled to the way Americans played music, if that makes any sense. I'm sure that will resonate with some people. So that's how that came about. And then Iiro finally managed to come out here, and it was a race against the clock to finish the music, because during COVID I'd forgotten how to write. And that's what I realised, coming up to the deadline. And I was going, like, I can't believe that there's nothing coming out. What am I going to do? But anyway, luckily for me, it was an unused muscle, and it sprang back to life just in the nick of time. And so we have a suite now that is called the Suite Swirmy, and it features Iiro Haala. And in fact, it was written very much with her in mind. And she is just beautiful, a beautiful person in how she hears music, how she plays music, and how she outwardly manifests her musical being. Yeah, it's a really special thing for me to be able to play with her.
Now, the harp isn't necessarily an instrument we normally associate with jazz or even, for that matter, with improvised music. So how did you, I guess, conceive some of the ideas with harp in mind? Although I think she played piano at the Jazz Lab as well, didn't she?
She did, and this is what makes her really interesting and somewhat different from other instrumentalists, or indeed other concert harpists, is that she also plays piano. And so she can move between one or the other with ease, and that's exactly what she's going to be doing on Saturday night at the Seymour Centre. How did I conceive it? I listened a lot to harpists in the jazz idiom, Alice Coltrane. I listened to Charlie Hayden, his duet. And then in the end, I ended up listening a lot to Iiro herself to understand her musical sensibility, and it's one that I love and feel akin to very much, even though I haven't written very much music that sounds like that. She has a similar approach, a similar ethos, I think. Anyway, it's been quite an educational journey for me to have worked with her.
Certainly with such simpatico artists as Phil Slater, Julian Wilson, Ben Houtman and Hamish Stewart also taking to the stage with yourself Jonathan, artists that you've had such a special rapport with musically and personally through the years. What are you looking for in these artists to bring to you? How are they going to bring your sweet Suomi to life?
Well, they know me, for a start. They all know me and know what I'm trying to do when I'm writing music in a particular way. And they also extremely generous and really supportive. So I feel very lucky, actually, to have them playing in this group. But they are just extraordinary musicians and are really open to kind of any ideas that I'm having. And also I use them very much as sounding boards and try and, you know, get their take on what works and what doesn't. And, you know, so it's that kind of support and that kind of musical friendship that really makes a huge difference for my peace of mind, but also a huge difference for the music when we get to play it. I mean, they're pretty amazing musicians.
Finally, Jonathan, I just wanted to touch back on one of your sentiments back in 2018 when you expressed a great deal, really, it's got to be said, of optimism about the musical talent we have here in Australia and the creative output, even though that here in Sydney there wasn't at the time the performance opportunities that should be afforded such talent. In a post-COVID world, what do you think has changed in this regard, especially here in Sydney?
Look, my optimism has quadrupled in that time. I look at players coming up now and I'm absolutely in awe of some of the talent that we're seeing, and the enthusiasm and the original voice that they are bringing to our scene. And it's really quite an amazing thing to witness as somebody who's come through and has been on the scene for a long time, to see this kind of new uber musician breed come through. You know, they're all really young, they can all really play their instruments, and they all have these fantastic ideas, compositional ideas, and they're confident and they have something to say, and I'm just really enjoying hearing them make their musical statements. It's a really good scene. And the other thing that's happened in the time of COVID is I think that we have grown as a community, and I think that is across the board of the music industry. I think that you're seeing now the benefit of all of the peak music industry bodies getting together and speaking with one voice to government, and I think that the government is listening. And I think that all of the issues that need to be addressed in regards to supporting original creative Australian music, I think that those messages are being heard. And I'm confident that some, if not all of those things will happen over time. So, for example, supporting Australian music by having, if not a quota, because I don't know that we can actually have a quota since the free trade agreement was signed back in 2000 or something. But we can have a money apportioned to support the creation of new work from major platforms. We are seeing more music, Australian music, played on radio. We're seeing larger, more profile of the Australian creative industry on the media. So we're becoming visible again, and it's actually about time. If we want a better society, then we have to have more clear-headed, clear-eyed voices speaking, and I think the music industry represents that right now. And that's another thing that's really exciting that's happening across Sydney is the blending of genres. So the contemporary classical music scene is now having more to do with the contemporary improvised music scene. There's a lot more conversations going on and a lot more collaboration, and that is really exciting because we're going to reap some really great benefits from these relationships. Thanks so much for having me, Frank.
And thank you, Jonathan Swartz.